continue through the book of Luke. Say, Brother Wade, we're just going to just keep going through the book of Luke till we're done? Yep. Say, then all you're doing is preaching through the Bible. Yeah, how about that? What a concept. What a concept to just preach the Bible. Amen. When I do that for on purpose, and I've told you that before. Now, we don't always do that, but I try to do it as much as possible to preach expositorily through different books of the Bible. And the reason for doing that is very simple. I don't trust Ray Williamson. Amen. And if Ray Williamson just got up here and preached, I'm always going to preach what God wants me to preach. Now listen, it's easy to say, but you get in this pulpit and every time you're just coming up with a message, you're coming up with a... You know what you're going to do after a while? You're preaching certain things all the time. You'll never preach the whole counsel of God. Do you trust yourself enough to preach all the counsel of God? I don't trust myself to preach all the counsel of God because I know what Ray Williamson likes. Amen. I'll preach against sin. I'll preach you need to get saved. I'll preach on the judgment seat of Christ. I'll preach on the King James Bible. I'll preach on heaven and the rapture. That'd be it. Amen. That's what I like. See, but when we preach through the whole Bible, we got to preach everything, even the stuff we don't like. Many times I'll go through and I'll look over the passage and say, okay, Lord, what? What do you have in this for your people? And in other times, it's just, oh, okay, it's right there, you know. Well, that's one of these times. This is kind of a pretty obvious text. It's pretty much right over the plate. If you're called to preach and you can't preach on this passage, something's wrong. Amen. Something's wrong with your call. Look here in Luke chapter 7, picking it up now in verse 36. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees, is this my water from this evening? It's cold. It should be. It's fresh. Is it filtered? Yeah, was he drinking? He wasn't drinking. All right. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. He said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now, of these two, Simon the Pharisee and this sinful woman, which one do you suppose impressed the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there any doubt as to which one impressed the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. That ought to be our desire. You think that would be everyone's desire, is to impress the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, a great story here, ladies, for you. Because this is a place in the Bible where a woman outdoes a man. Amen, ladies? Yeah, that ought to... Amen, ladies. That ought to say, hey, praise the Lord. Look at that woman. She outdid... Call the National Organization of Women. They ought to be all over this. Of course, they're not. But they ought to be. Who was this woman? A sinner. I mean, here's a story where a woman who's a sinner wins against a religious man. A religious man and a sinful woman, and yet this woman... Why? She didn't try to go at this thing. Her desire wasn't to outdo the man. Her desire was just to impress the Lord. Ladies, if you want to outdo a man, don't do it by trying to be one. That's where the National Organization of Women misses out. Ladies, you have some strengths. You have some abilities that we don't have. This is just the introduction. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach on this the whole message, so relax. But look over there in the book of Job real quick. Hold your place here. And I'll see if I can find it real quick. I thought I wrote it down in my notes, and I didn't. I'm looking here for it going, ah! But I know about where it is in the Bible. It's in Job. I've got it narrowed down. I think it's around chapter 38, something like that. But I was wrong once before. It's possible I could be again. Now, oh, here it is, chapter 39, Job 39. Look with me. Verse 13, gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks? No, God did. Or wings and feathers unto the ostrich? Notice who has the goodly wings. It's a peacock. Beautiful bird. How about that ostrich? The ostrich is a bird, you know. You know where her problem is? She don't know she's a bird. She ain't trying to be a bird. She ain't trying to be a pretty bird. She's not interested in what birds should be interested in. Verse 14. Which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in dust and forgetteth that the foot may crush them or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear. Her labor, listen, it's about working in the workplace. It's not about the children. That's that ostrich. What are birds supposed to do? Fly. She doesn't. She's not trying to be a bird. You with me? What's she trying to do? She's trying to outdo something else. What's she trying to outdo? Look there, verse 17. Because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his. The horse is male. The ostrich is female. His rider. You know what she's out there doing? Trying to outbeat the horse in a race. On her feet. That's not what birds were meant to do. She don't care about her young. She's more worried about her job. Do you see the picture? God put that in the Bible for a purpose, ladies. Your purpose isn't try to outrun the horse. Your purpose is to take care of the nest. Your glory is your beauty and your feathers. Amen? Be what God intended you to be. There is no man here, no matter how good you think he is, you don't have to be any envious about any man in here. What man in here has ever given birth to a child? Thank God I've never had to do that. Praise the Lord. Amen. But ladies, hey, in a way, wow. You outdone me. Amen. You outdone me. Life within you and then it comes out, and you can care for it the way you do and everything else. Could never do that. Amen? That's your strength. Why don't you try to outdo us in your strengths? Come on now. I'm tired of hearing about these women that want to be in the ministry and the women. Why do women want to be men? And then we got all these men wanting to be women these days. What's going on around here? Amen. Men, stick to your strengths and be men that God intended you to be. Women, be women. And be the woman that God intended you to be. You'll be happy, you'll be content. You'll never be happy, you'll never be content. God said it was vain. Her labor's in vain. It's a waste of time. You're wasting your whole life. And all those now women and everything else, they're just miserable old hags. Amen. I said it. It came out too late. Deal with it. But that's what they are. Amen. Don't ever decide that that's right for you or for your daughters. Amen. Be thankful for what God made you. And work on your strengths. Amen. All right, now, on to the message. That was free. All right, now here we are. Look back in Luke chapter 7. And notice something about these two. Only one of them, would you agree, impressed the Lord. How many of you would like to impress the Lord? Anyone here? One? I've got one. Good. Two? Praise it. Three. Four? All right. A couple. Amen. The rest of you, just be quiet until the message is over. Go on your way. But this is for those that would like to impress the Lord. You see, both of them had done wrong. Both of them had done wrong. But only one knew that they were a sinner. Amen. You know the problem with Simon is? Listen, Simon, what did Jesus say? Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. Now, Simon, are you here tonight? Now, Simon, if you're here, I have somewhat to say unto you tonight. You see, this lady knew that she was a sinner. How about you, Simon? Look at verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I think we can agree that probably that Pharisee wasn't as bad a sinner as that woman. But you know what he thought? And you know what his problem was? He didn't think he was a sinner, period. Now, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at verse 39. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. You know what? He had no problem evaluating others. You know where his problem lied? Looking at himself. He couldn't see himself as a sinner. Listen, you know what you're going to find out in that Bible real quick? You start reading through that Bible. The only people that impress the Lord in that Bible are those that have an honest evaluation of themselves. What's your name, boy? Jacob. See? Who was Jacob? Was he anybody special? What great things did he do? But you know what God saw in him? He could at least look at himself and say, God, you're right. You got me nailed. You're right. That's who I am. I'm a Jacob. I'm a supplanter. See that thing? That's who God's looking for. What was so great about David compared to Saul? When most people would probably say that David's sin was worse than Saul's. So what was the difference? Saul, well, yeah, I've done what the Lord said. Really, Saul? Yeah. What's this bleeding of the... See, he never could look at himself honestly. How about David? Thou art the man. Oh, God, he's right. Do you understand the difference? It wasn't that either of them was perfect or either of them was holy. One was able to see themselves truly and honestly and had an honest evaluation of themselves, of their own life, of their own heart, of their own failings, of their own faults, of their own sins. This lady, she knew who she was. She had no doubt. They're talking about her right in front of her. She didn't care. It wasn't like a news report to her. She knew who she was. You know what Peter said one time to Jesus? Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Why does God use people like that? Here's Paul. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's Paul. That's who God uses. Chiefest of sinners. Why? Well, at least they can have an honest evaluation of themselves. You see that upper crust Pharisee? See, it's this kind of looking down their nose at everybody else. See, you know, with their ritualism and their stained glass. You know, and their manners and their degrees and their culture, looking down at everybody else. Hey, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. You see, they both had done wrong, but one knew they were a sinner. They both were undone and haughty, but one humbled themselves. Look at verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Where is she the whole time? Listen, Simon had given him a meal. He's sitting at the table with him on the same level. That woman, she's not on the same level. She realized where she was, where she should be. Where was she? On her knees at his feet. Now, truth be told, where should have Simon been? You see? They're both undone. They're both haughty at times, but one humbled themselves. You want to impress the Lord? Humble yourself. When God convicts you through the preaching of the Word of God, what's your reaction? Is it to get mad at the messenger? Or is it to say, amen? That was for me. See? Verse 39. Look at verse 39. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. You think he's humble? You know what he's saying about Jesus? Well, who does he think he is? He thinks he's better than Jesus. Yeah. It's scary, man. You see it sometimes. You're just like, man, listen, Simon, if you're here, I have somewhat to say unto you. That pastor, he wants a ministry to help out a bunch of addicts. I mean, if you were of God, you know, don't you think he'd know what kind of people they are? Simon? Simon? I have somewhat to say unto thee. Proud. One humbled herself. You know what it's going to take to get saved? You're going to have to humble yourself. You know what it's going to take to repent and get right, Christian? You're going to have to humble yourself. Christians are the only living thing on the face of the earth that grow by shrinking. Have you ever noticed how God has established nature where the smaller the bird, the prettier it sings? Vultures? Owls? You know, geese, you know, ducks, all the rest of them. It's all the big birds. They screech, they, you know. Then you get down a little bit, the crows. They try, but they can't do it. But see, then you get down towards like that cardinal. See? And we got one of those, what do we got in our house? Finch? Got one of those little finches. They're a cool little bird. And he likes bluegrass. Amen. We got a bird with good taste. He likes bluegrass. Yeah, man, that bluegrass, every time that bluegrass comes on, there he starts singing away. You know, just going at it. The smaller the bird, the more beautiful sounds that seem to come out of him. Think that's a coincidence? Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Simon, why can't you admit when you're wrong? What's wrong? Could it be that maybe you just need to humble yourself, Simon? Many years ago, John Newton, the converted slave trader who became a preacher and a Christian poet, Christian songwriter, lay upon his deathbed. A young clergyman came to see him and expressed deep regret at the prospect of losing so eminent a laborer in the Lord's vineyard. The venerable servant of God replied, "True, I'm going on before you, but you'll soon come after me. When you arrive, our friendship will no doubt cause you to inquire for me. But I can tell you already where you'll most likely find me." Where did he say they'd find him? "I'll be sitting at the feet of the thief whom Jesus saved in his dying moments on the cross." Although a distinguished man, Newton felt with Paul that he could only class himself among the chiefest of sinners who've been saved by God's marvelous grace. Amen. "I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above another. The taller we grow, the easier we can reach them. Now I find that God's gifts are on shelves, one beneath another. And the lower we stoop, the more we get." True humility is not to think low of oneself, but to think right, truthfully, of oneself. See, there can be a false humility. There can be this idea that you look lower at yourself than you should have just for that purpose of looking humble. If I was to ask right now who was the most humble person here tonight, would you raise your hand? It is possible, brethren, to be too big for God to use. But it's never possible to be too small for God to use. You know why our altars are empty in many churches today, brethren? Well, amen, preacher. That was a good message, and God really spoke to my heart. And I'm going to get right. But I'm not going to go down in front of all those people. Why not? You see, you got a problem, you haven't even realized it. Well, I get with God, and I get that if you have been, then by now, if that was true, see, I think you're lying. I'm just going to be straight up with you. I don't think you've been spending enough time with God. Because if you had, you'd have no problem coming down here in front of the whole world and bowing before your Savior. Amen. Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. I don't know if you're here or not, but if you are, Simon, got a message for you. Look at verse 48. "And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven." Verse 50. "And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Both were lost. One was saved. How'd she get saved? Well, it takes the first two steps. You have to realize you're a sinner. You have to be willing to humble yourself.
See yourself as God sees you. Realize you have that need. And then come to Christ at His feet. And He'll save you, just as He did that sinful woman. If He can save her, He can save you. If He can save me, He can save you. Well, you Christians just think you're better than everybody else. No, you've got it backwards. You've got it backwards. I realized I was a sinner who needed a Savior. Have you? Now, who thinks they're better than who? You see, it's the man that has not been born again. It's the man that's trusting in his own righteousness that thinks he's better than everybody else. It was Simon who didn't get saved. He thought he was better than that woman. Was he? Not in God's eyes. If things didn't change, and as far as we know, they never did, where did Simon go when he died? And where'd that woman go? No amount of money, no amount of religiosity can redeem your soul. She knew the only hope that she had was that man that walked into that Pharisee's house. And she didn't care who she had to go down in front of, and who she had to embarrass herself in front of, and who she had to humble herself in front of. She didn't care. She knew he was the one. She was the only one that could remedy her situation in her sin. And she left there saved. Simon left there just as he had been before. Jesus Christ gives the example one time of the Pharisee and the publican. And Jesus talks about that Pharisee who prayed thus with himself, as you see this fellow here doing, talking thus with himself. He prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you. Well, if he's praying thus with himself and says God, then who does he think he is? Maybe that's the problem. I thank you that I am not as other men are, like these sinners, like this publican. I fast and I tithe and I. And then the publican, Jesus says, would note not so much as lift up his head unto heaven, but smote his hand upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Christ asked this question, which of them, suppose you, went to their house justified? Any guess? It was only one, as it was here. It was only one. Amen. There's a story here of a man named Simpson. You may not have heard of him, but you've heard of his work. In the year 1847, a doctor from Edinburgh, Sir James Simpson, discovered that chloroform could be used as an anesthetic to render people insensible to the pain of surgery. Thank God for Sir James Simpson. How many countless of millions of people, because of anesthesia, have been able to go through surgery without pain that would have never been able to be operated on in the first place? From his early experiments, Dr. Simpson made it possible for people to go through the most dangerous operations without fear of pain and suffering. Some people even claim that his was one of the most significant discoveries of modern medicine. Some years later, while lecturing at the University of Edinburgh, Dr. Simpson was asked by one of his students, "What do you consider to be the most valuable discovery of your lifetime?" To the surprise of his students, who had expected him to refer to chloroform, Dr. Simpson replied, "My most valuable discovery was when I discovered myself a sinner and that Jesus Christ was my Savior." Listen, that's the greatest discovery anyone can ever find. There's two thieves on a cross, one in the middle. Both sinners, both condemned, but one of them saw himself as he truly was, saw the Lord for who he truly was, and by simply saying, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus looked and turned to that man and said, "Guess what, boy? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." What did he do? He just looked to Jesus. That's all. That Pharisee could have done the same thing. Jesus was right there. He saw that he had power to forgive that woman of her sins. He could have done the same thing, but then he would have had to put himself in similar company. Simon, that's what will send you to hell. Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Now listen, both this Pharisee named Simon and this sinful woman, both of them served Jesus Christ in their own way. She brought her little box. She anointed his feet. She kissed his feet. She wiped his feet with her hair. He invites him into his house, has a meal prepared, and I'm sure it was a good meal. I'm sure it wasn't no TV dinner. I know that for a fact, as a matter of fact, because there was no TVs back then. Amen. But I'm sure he put on the dog. Amen. Jesus was coming, buddy, he probably had, you know, roast lamb, roast beef, and potatoes, and asparagus tips, and just the whole, I mean, he had it laid out. He had the whole thing there for Jesus. He was going to impress him. I believe that. All that woman had was that little ointment box. She did what he could. He did. They both served. You know what the difference was? Only one loved. Wherefore I say unto thee, verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. You know what's the difference? Who loved him? See? Simon? You listening? They both served. One did it out of love. They weren't doing it for the wrong motive. They weren't doing it just to be noticed. They weren't doing it for anything other than the true motivation of love. And until you understand God's great love, you can't love God. Until you're born again, until you're saved, you could never love God the way that God intended you to. You're fallen. You don't know Him. You can't love God until you understand His love. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you ever grasp that? Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He first loved us. Gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love Him because He first loved us. And when that happens, the Bible says, guess what? If you can really just love Him the way you're supposed to love Him because you understand His love for you, His commandments are not grievous. It's no longer a grief to serve Him. It's no problem to serve Him. It's a joy to serve Him. If you love Him. Look with me. Hold your place there. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Why was Simon serving Him? Was he just politicking? Was he trying to impress Him with his substance? Whatever his motive was, it doesn't appear to be the correct one. Why was she doing it? Why would she give the little bit that she had to him? Why would she grovel at his feet that way? Nobody made her do that. Nobody got on her and preached at her and said, you need to go in there and you need to get down. No. She did that all on her own. Why? She couldn't help it. Say what? Because she loved him. She loved him. She knew she needed him. She depended upon him. Look there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, one verse, just real quick thing. I want you to see this. I want you to get a hold of it now. Behold, the third time I am ready to come unto you. This is Apostle Paul talking to the church at Corinth. I will not be burdensome to you. In other words, I'm not coming there to get a bunch of stuff from you. See? I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. What's Paul saying? I'm not interested in your money. I'm not interested in all that you can offer me. I'm interested in something else. What was he interested in? Them. You know what God's saying to you? I'm not interested in all that. I appreciate it. Do what you want to do. But that's not where I'm going with this. I'm not interested in that. I don't want yours. I want you. Does he have you? Does he have your heart? How much of it does he have? What's the greatest commandment? The greatest. What does God say is the greatest commandment? What's the most important thing to God? Listen, you want to impress God? What's the most important thing? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Amen. Greatest of all commandments. A little boy declared that he loved his mother with all his strength. He was asked to explain what he meant by with all his strength. He said, well, I tell you, you see, we live on the fourth floor of this tenement and there's no elevator and the coal is kept down in the basement. My mother is busy all the time and she isn't very strong, so I see to it that the coal hold is never empty. I lug the coal up four flights of stairs all by myself, and it's a pretty big hold. It takes all my strength to get up here. Now, isn't that loving my mother with all my strength? You understand, when you love, you can love with all your strength. When you love, you can serve with all your strength. What some Christians are doing, they're trying to serve with all their strength. But they're like the church at Ephesus. And the Lord's trying to remind them, you've left your first love. I know thy works. I know all that. You've forgotten something. You forgot why it was you were doing this in the first place. Haven't you? Simon? I have somewhat to say unto thee. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. I mean, what was the difference between Saul and David? We looked at it in the case of salvation and seeing themselves as they truly were. How much did Saul love God? What did God say about David when he found him? I have found a man after my own heart. Now you find in the Psalms where David, the first person and the only person recorded in the Old Testament that says these words, I love the Lord. How about it? What's God looking for? Listen, if we're not careful, we'll start thinking that all God's looking for is ours. Well, I'm giving. All right, I'm going to church. I'm involved in this ministry. Now, preacher, look, I've got this checklist. I'm covering it. I'm getting it all covered here. See? Got all these things checked off. Amen. And preacher, I'm doing good. Not smoking. Not drinking, I'm not cussing. That's good. That's good, Simon. See, Simon wasn't doing any of that. Listen up. But don't forget, he's looking for a little more than that. And I'm not saying that Simon was wrong for being that way. That woman was a sinner. She was probably messing around with some of that stuff. But which one really impressed the Lord? It wasn't the one that was living the cleanest at the time. Who was it? It was the one that truly loved him. Now, I believe if you truly love him, you'll live clean. You'll live right. You'll do right. I don't doubt that for a minute. I'm not trying to give anyone an excuse. What I'm saying is don't get the cart before the horse. Because if you start doing that, guess where you're going to end up, Simon? Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Can I ask you a question? You've come to this altar. You've asked God to forgive you for this sin, for this sin, for this sin. When's the last time you came to an altar and asked the Lord to forgive you for not loving Him enough? When's the last time that's even crossed your mind? When's the last time you just came down at His feet and kissed His feet and told Him you loved Him? Don't forget what it's all about. If you get that straight, everything else will be fine. Now, Simon, let's get it straight. Let's not forget what He did for us. Remember, when you first got saved, it wouldn't have been a problem coming down here. You used to do it. What's happened? Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, you know what? I'm sorry, I haven't loved you enough. I ought to love you more. Hey, of all the things you want to be known for, what is it? And the Bible says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. If the Lord was going to say anything about you when you appeared before Him, could He say, now that one there, they loved me. How about you? Both of them served. One of them loved. Listen, we don't serve Him to earn His love. We serve Him and we love Him because He so freely gave His love for us. How do we impress the Lord? You want to impress Him? You know what you got to do? You got to see yourself as you truly are. You got to see yourself the way God sees you. Nothing hiding. That in itself ought to be enough for any of us to say, God, why would you even be interested in me? Why would you even give me the time of day? See, listen, if you all knew me the way God knows me, why God would want to use me, you got me on that one, I don't know. But you know what He knows? He knows that heart. He knows if you really love Him or not. And that is what He's looking for more than anything else. See yourself the way God sees you. Humble yourself. Get saved. If you're not saved, why don't you come on down and get saved right now? Ask the Lord to save you. He'll save you just like that. You'll leave here knowing you have eternal life. How about it? If you are saved, maybe you just need to get right. But to do that, you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to see yourself the way God sees you. And most importantly, are you just serving Him? Or are you just going through the motions? Or can you really say, as David, I love the Lord? Y'all sang a song. When I went back to use the restroom there, you were singing that song without the piano. So we'll try it again. Except I want to change the words just a little bit. What number was that? Jesus loves me? What? 102? I mean, when you really consider like that woman was able to do of how much God has forgiven you, how can we not kiss His feet? How can we not willingly allow our tears to fall on His feet and wipe His feet with our hair? Considering all He's loved us. Now I'm going to sing it. one time through, and then you can follow me on the course. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus because He first loved me. How about it? Let's try it together on the first verse. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus because He first loved me. Jesus loves me, He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sins. Let His little child come in. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus because He first loved me. On the last verse, let's stand up and we'll sing it together. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for Thee. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus because He first loved me. Amen. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer?